السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله، الحمد لله حمد عباده الذاكرين الشاكرين، حمدا يوافي نعمه ويكافئ مزيده، وصلى اللهم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وفقها في الدين يا رب العالمين، آمين. We continue, inshallah, on our study of the elite of the elite, the most honorable of the Sahaba, the ten that are given the glad tiding of paradise, al-ashara al-mubasharuna bil-jannah, as we, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, went over the seerah of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, Umar ibn al-Khattab, Uthman ibn Affan, Ali ibn Abi Talib, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, Sa'id ibn Zayd, wa Abdul Rahman ibn Auf. So we're left with some of the Ashara al-Mubashareen bil-Jannah. And we will study, inshaAllah, the next two Sahaba that are given the glad tiding of paradise. And we may be able to finish both of them today, or we may be able to finish one, depending, inshaAllah, how things go. But they have peculiar relationship with their fathers. The first Sahabi that we will study, inshallah, today, I'm just getting you, inshallah, to think about who they are, rejected his father. And the second one killed his father. So, and they had most love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his prophet. The first sahabi that we will study, inshallah, today, one of the ten, he was called the beloved of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His title among the sahaba was حِبُّ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَأَبُو حِبِّ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. And the father of the beloved for the Prophet صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. This Sahabi of all the Sahaba, of all the companion of the Prophet صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, there is only one name mentioned in the Qur'an al-Kareem of the Sahabi, and that is this man. He was mentioned in the Qur'an by his name, by his first name. Jazakallah. That is Zayd. Zayd ibn Haritha ibn Shurahil ibn Ka'b. Zaydun radiallahu anhu was the Sahabi, the only Sahabi that was mentioned by name in the Quran Kareem. And his title among the Sahaba was Hibbu Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa Abu Hibbi Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he is the father of Usama ibn Zayd, who was also called Al Hibb ibn Al Hibb, the beloved, the son of the beloved for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Zayd ibn Haritha had so many stories in his life with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it started very young at his age. When Zayd ibn Haritha was 8 years old, he was with his mother Su'd ibn Tha'laba, and they were from the tribe of Tayyib, the tribe of Tayyib in Arabia. And she was visiting her family, and her family was raided by horsemen. And this was the custom of al-Jahiliyyah, is the Arab would raid each other, and we will take spoils and looting from each other's tribes. And they will take money, they will take cattle, and they will take people. And they will take people as slaves, and they sell them for profit. And that was the custom of the ignorance of al-Jahiliyyah. And while Su'da bint Thalaba was visiting her family in Tayyib, they were raided by people. They were from Bani Al-Ain. And they took her 8-year-old son, Zayd ibn Haritha. And Zayd ibn Haritha was taken as a prisoner, and they took him to a marketplace that is well known in Arabic history, that is Suq al-Uqaf, the market of Uqaf, which also used to be a very famous market or bazaar, if you will. And in that market, they will also have literature and poetry, and they would have their pride show off between the tribes, but they also sold goods and sold slaves in that market. And one of the slaves that was sold in the market of Uqad, wa alaykum salam, was Zayd ibn Haritha. And Zayd ibn Haritha was bought for 400 dirham. Sha'uhu bi thamanin bakhs. Was sold as a slave for 400 dirham. But he was sold to a man called Hakim ibn Huzam. And Hakim ibn Huzam gave this slave and bought the slave for his aunt. And his aunt was Khadija bint Khuwaylid, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Hakim ibn Huzam bought that for his aunt Ammato. She was the sister of his cousin. He's Hakim ibn Huzam ibn Khuwaylid. And he bought it for Khadija bint Khuwaylid radiallahu anha wa ardaha. And he gave her this ghulam, this slave, Zayd ibn Haritha, and he was 8 years old. And Khadija radiallahu anha, when she married to Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she gave him this slave to be his servant. So Zayd ibn Haritha became with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as his own slave, as his own servant, given as a gift from his wife Khadija bint Khuwaylid at the age of around 8 years old. And that's how Zayd ibn Haritha met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But in al-Jahiliyyah, people treated their slaves very badly. They treated them truly as masters and slaves. And we know Islam later on came to change that and eventually abolish that. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Muslims, ikhwanukum khawalukum, that your slaves and servants are your brothers. You are equal. Even though that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained that they are captured or sold or they are now under you, serving you, but they are indeed your brothers. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with his fitrah, with his nature, he was applying that with Zayd even before he is a prophet, before he received revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Zayd ibn Haritha found himself surrounded by the love of the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was raised up not like a slave. He was raised surrounded with compassion. He was not overworked. He was not have child labor burdens on him by the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He found love that he didn't find in his own house, among his own family, as he recalls. And his father, Haritha Mushrahil, was very sad for departing his son, and he was very sad, and he was one of the noble people, of the elite people of his clan. And he was so taken by the loss of Zayd that he is a poet, and he was saying poetry that is recorded, wa alaykum salam rahmatullah, he's recorded in Arabic literature, trying to find Zayd and crying for Zayd and weeping for Zayd. And one of the poetry says, بكيت على زيد ولم أدري ما فعل أحي يرجى أم أتى دونه الأجل فيا ليت شعري هل لك الدهر رجعة فحسبي من الدنيا رجوعك لي بجل تذكرينه الشمس عند طلوعها وتعرض ذكراه إذا قارب الطفل وإن هبت الأرواح هيجن ذكره فيا طول ما حزني عليه وما وجل سأعمل نص العيش في الأرض جاهدا ولا أسأم التطواف أو تسأم الإبل حياتي أو تأتي علي منيتي وكل امرئ فان وإن غره الأمل. In summary, he's saying, I will continue to search for my beloved Zayd until the camels that I am riding on will get bored from searching for him. And when they get bored, then I will continue searching for him until the sun gets bored from setting down. And the whole basically existence gets bored, and I will never get bored from searching for Zayd. And we know Mecca, where Zayd was, and the family in the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is a place where most Arabs come during the season of Hajj for pilgrimage. So people from Tayyip would come to Mecca, and they knew. And that the father of Zayd ibn Haritha, Haritha ibn Shurahil, was looking for his son. And they would bring this poetry with them, and they said, this is what Haritha is saying. Because poetry in the Arab world at that time worked like the media. That was their ways of communication. And Zayd ibn Haritha heard this poetry, and he heard that his father was looking from him. And he sent the poetry back to his family, giving him the signal that he's alive. He's in Mecca. And he said, أَحِنُّ إِلَىٰ قَوْمِي وَإِنْ كُنْتُ نَائِيًا فَإِنِّي قَطِينُ الْبَيْتِ عِنْدَ الْمَشَاعِرِ فَكُفُّوا عَنِ الْوَجْدِ الَّذِي قَدْ شَجَاكُمُ وَلَا تُعْمِلُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ نَصَّ الْأَدَاعِرِ فَإِنِّي بِحَمْدِ اللَّهِ فِي خَيْرِ أُسْرَةٍ كِرَامَ مَعِدٍ كَابِرًا بَعْدَ كَابِرِ. He sent a poetry to his family telling him, I miss my family and I feel longing to see them, but let them not be sad because I am by the Kaaba, I am by the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I am in the best family among Arabs and the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Father to grandfather to, and this is a family that is so well into the honor in the Arab clans. But those people, when they heard that, they ran to Haritha ibn Shurahil and they told him that we found your son. Your son is in Mecca. Zayd is in Mecca and he is at the family of Bani Abdul Muttalib and he is in the house of Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib. He is one of the best houses in the best houses of Mecca, one of the most honorable houses of Mecca. So Haritha wanted his son back, and he was a wealthy man. He knows that he can buy his son back, buy the slave back. So he took his brother Ka'b, so the uncle and the father of Zayd ibn Haritha went to Mecca. And they wanted to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is all happening before Ba'tha. This is all before Islam. So they asked, where is Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And they told him he is around the Kaaba.
How old was he at that time?
It's really not known at that time. So they went and they met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they said, Yabna Abdul Muttalib, Yabna Hashim, Yabna Sayyida Qawmi. When they wanted to bestow the honor on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would call him, O son of Abdul Muttalib. As Abdul Muttalib was one of the most honorable people, he was the master of Quraysh. He was like the king of Quraysh, and Quraysh had no king. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Antum haramullah, antum ahlu haramillahi wa jiranu. You are the custodians of this haram, of this sanctuary of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tafakkun al-ani. You are the one that release the prisoners. Wa tut'imun al-asir. You take care of the prisoners of war and the slaves. Ji'naka fi ibnina indak. We came to you with our son. He is with you. Fannan alayna wa ahsan ilayna fi fida'ih. Fa inna sanadfa'u lak. They said, have a favor upon us and give us the ability to give ransom for our son, as he is a slave in your house. And we will pay you as much as you want. As much as you want for Zayd, we will pay. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, who is your son? And they said, Zayd ibn Haritha. Zayd, in your house. He said, أَوَ غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ. I have a different deal for you. I have another deal for you. And they said, مَا هُوَ. What is it? He said, أَبْعُوهُ فَأُخَيِّرُهُ فَإِنْ اخْتَارَكُمْ فَهُوَ لَكُمْ بِغَيْرِ فِدَاءٍ وَإِنْ اخْتَارَنِي فَوَاللَّهِ مَا أَنَا بِالَّذِي أَخْتَارُ عَلَى مَنْ اخْتَارَنِي أَحَدًا. He said, I would call your son, but I will give him a choice. So if he chooses to go back with you to his tribe and his family, then he is for you. You can take him without any ransom, without any money. But if he chooses me, then I cannot let him go. If he chooses me over his family. And they say, أَحْسَنْتَ يَبْنَ الْأَكْرَمِينَ وَزِدْتَنَا عَنِ النَّصَفِ. He said, may Allah bless you, this is great. You son of the noble people, this is more than fair. زِدْتَنَا عَنِ النَّصَفِ. This is more than justice. You're telling us that if our son chooses to go back with his father, you will give him his son for free. You will just grant him his son back. I mean, who would not want to go back with his father and want to stay as a slave in any household? This is a no-brainer. They said, this is a done deal. We're getting Zayd back. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called upon Zayd, and he said, هَلْ تَعْرِفُ هَؤُلَاء. Do you recognize these people? And there was his father and his uncle. And he said, نَعْمْ هَذَا أَبِي زَيْدٍ وَهَذَا عَمِّي كَعْب. This is my father, Zayd. And this is my father, Haritha. And this is my uncle, Ka'b. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَأَنَا مَنْ عَلِمْتُ. I am who you know also. So you know all the three parties here of this conflict. وَرَأَيْتَ صُحْبَتِي لَكَ. And you know how my dealing with you is. فَاخْتَرْنِي أَوْ اخْتَرْهُمَا. Choose me or choose them. The choice is now for Zayd ibn Haritha. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then Zayd ibn Haritha looked at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is before Islam. He said, مَا أَنَا بِالَّذِي أَخْتَارُ عَلَيْكَ أَحَدٍ. أَنْتَ مِنِّي بِمَكَانِ الْأَبِي وَالْعَمْ. He said, I cannot choose anybody over you. You are like my father and my uncle. Haritha and Ka'b, they were dumbfounded. They could not believe what they are hearing. Their own son is preferring to be a slave in the house of Muhammad ibn Abdullah than to come as a master, a nobleman, back to Tayyip. And they said, "As wayhaka ya Zayd, Zayd, what happened to your mind? What happened? You're mad. أتختار العبودية على الحرية? You choose slavery over freedom? وعلى أبيك وعمك وأهل بيتك? You choose Muhammad over your family, your father, your uncle, and the people of your family?" Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was smiling there, looking at this strange situation. And then Zayd said, "Na'am, yes, I'm making this choice, and I'm basically in my full mental capacity. Na'am, فَإِنِّي رَأَيْتُ مِنْ هَذَا الرَّجُلِ شَيْئًا مَا أَنَا بِالَّذِي أَخْتَارُ عَلَيْهِ أَحَدًا." He said, "The way that this man deals with me, I cannot choose anybody over him." And that was the manners of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before Islam. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw the situation, he will not be able to give Zayd back to his family. Zayd prefer to live with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's attached, his heart is attached to this light of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that was in him even before Islam. And he didn't want to leave the house of the Prophet. So the Prophet wanted to make his family not, he saw the distress in the faces. He saw how difficult the situation is. So he said, "Come with me to Al-Hijr." He took Zayd to Hijr Ismail. Hijr Ismail is this half circle area in front of the Kaaba, which is really originally part of the initial Kaaba of Ibrahim. But it was a place when the Arabs of Quraysh had something of importance, they would announce it right there. So he took Zayd to Al-Hijr. And he said, "Ya man hadar," for everybody who's present, "Ishhadu anna Zaydan ibni yarithuni wa aritha." Be witnesses that Zayd is my son. He adopted Zayd at that position. "Yarithuni wa aritha." He can inherit from me and I can inherit from him. And this word "yarithuni wa aritha" is when Arabs really wanted to adopt in the Jahiliyyah, they would do that. This phrase from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a quotation, but it is not a hadith. Why is that? Because he was not Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then. Because we know that inheritance is really well defined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we will inshallah come to that. And then when his father and his uncle saw that now Zayd is not a slave, he is Zayd ibn Muhammad ibn Abdul Muttalib ibn Hashim, the best family in the Arab, among the Arab tribes, they started smiling and they started feeling good about the situation. And then they left, and Zayd from that day till Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed that was called Zayd ibn Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was not called Zayd ibn Haritha. So there is no one of the Sahaba that we really studied the lives of is closer to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than Zayd ibn Haritha. Zayd ibn Haritha accepted Islam very early on. He was one of the very first Muslims. When the message came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he started with the people of his house. So the very first Muslim was Khadija bint Khuwaylid radiallahu anha wa ardaha. Then the two children, the two young people in his house, Ali ibn Abi Talib and Zayd ibn Haritha. Because they both were raised in the household of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there is no one of the of the young generation was closer to Islam than Ali ibn Abi Talib and Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Zayd had more than one story, and in the Quran he was mentioned, as we said, by name. And for that we have to see what happened to Zayd during his life. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Zayd ibn Haritha, after Islam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became the prophet, became the messenger for this ummah. Zayd ibn Haritha, although he was the adopted son of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the social look in Quraysh was still based on classes. Even a freed slave, even an adopted slave, was not treated completely as an equal. People would not give in marriage to a freed slave an honorable woman. And that continued somewhat into Islam. People took with them this residuals of ignorance into the days of Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet wanted to change that, wanted to break the barriers of racism, the barrier of social class, because that is not in Islam. All Muslims are equal. All Muslims are the same. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may give somebody more talent, somebody more youth, somebody more beauty, somebody more knowledge, somebody more money. But at the end, المسلم كالمسلم للمسلم كالبنيان المرصوص يشد بعضه بعضا. It's only to complement each other. It's only so a Muslim to a Muslim can be like one wall. And Zayd ibn Haritha played a major role twice in changing the social order of the Arabic society and the societies in general to create this perfect Muslim society that we inshallah continue to cherish and live to the day of judgment, inshallah. How did that happen? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had his adopted son, who was still an adopted son at that time, Zayd bin Muhammad, and he had a cousin. Her name was Zaynab bint Jahsh. And Zaynab bint Jahsh is the daughter of Safiya. She's the daughter of Umayna, but I'm not sure. But she is the daughter of one of the aunts of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Zaynab to marry, he asked the hand of Zaynab to marry his adopted son, Zayd ibn Muhammad, Zayd ibn Haritha, radiallahu anhu. And this is narrated in Ibn Kathir, in one of Asbab al-Nuzul, in one of the causes of the revelation. And the verses that we will be going over, inshallah, are in Surah Al-Ahzab. And there are verses 35 through 40. The beginning was when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, and this is narrated in Ibn Kathir on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to ask for the hand of Zaynab bint Jahsh to be married to Zayd ibn Haritha. And he went into her house and asked her to marry Zayd. So Zaynab, the lady of Quraysh, the honorable woman of Quraysh, felt that she doesn't want to be married to a man that entered their house, their family, as a slave. And she said, "Lastu bi nakihati," I will not marry him. I will not marry Zayd. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Bala fankihi." You know, yes, I want you to marry Zayd. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself is asking for Zaynab to marry Zayd ibn Haritha. And Zaynab said, "Aw amaru fi nafsi." Don't I have the choice? I mean, isn't this something that I have some say so? And Islam allows that. This is the rule of Islam. The woman has to accept in marriage. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this particular situation had a different goal and a different plan for both Zayd and for Zaynab eventually. And they both ended up better off after they obeyed the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And while they were talking, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَن يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ وَمَن يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed verse 36 of Surah Al-Ahzab. It is not for a believer, a male believer or a female believer, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger ordain something, to have the choice. So you have the choice in ordinary situations, but if it's coming from Allah and His Messenger, then a believer in Allah should trust in the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger. And those who disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and their Messenger, they are indeed misguided. So Zaynab immediately after she heard, قَدْ رَضِيْتُهُ لِيَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, do you accept him from, is that what you, this is an order from Allah? And he said yes. And then, إِذَنْ لَا أَعْصِي رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, then I will not disobey Rasulullah. رَضِيْتُ بِهِ, I will take Zayd as a husband. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married Zayd bin Muhammad to Zaynab bint Jahsh. He married his adopted son to his cousin, Zaynab. The life between Zaynab and Zayd was not going very well. Their marriage was not going very well. And Zayd was suffering through this marriage. And there are many narrations, some of them are really not very strong, but Zaynab was always somewhat of snubbing him or treating him in a difficult way. And he would come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I don't want this wife anymore. I want out. I want to divorce. This marriage is not working. And every time he comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, أَمْسِكْ عَلَيْكَ زَوْجَكَ وَاتَّقِ اللَّهِ, hold on to your wife and fear Allah. Hold on to your wife and fear Allah. And the Mufassirin, the scholars said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Zaynab will become the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not allow Zayd to divorce her because the social stigma of somebody marrying the wife of the adopted son is very stressful. Somebody's marrying in today's, if you just have to have an example for that, it's like somebody's today marrying his daughter-in-law. That's how the Jahiliyyah thought about adoption. It was a real son. And when you adopt someone, it was treated like a real son. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to change all of that. And to change all of that, the family that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to put in that test and to show the example for Muslim was the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to marry Zaynab and let Zayd divorce Zaynab. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ahzab, وَإِذْ تَقُولُ لِلَّذِي أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَأَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْسِكْ عَلَيْكَ زَوْجَكَ وَاتَّقِ اللَّهِ وتخفي في نفسك ما الله مبديه وتخشى الناس والله أحق أن تخشاه. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when you say to those, to the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed his bounty upon him, the one is Zayd, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling that man, وَأَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِ, and you have bounty over him. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raised Zayd, took care of him since he was 8 years old. He said, this man has been taken care of by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and by you, Muhammad, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you tell him, you say to him, أَمْسِكْ عَلَيْكَ زَوْجَكَ وَاتَّقِ اللَّهِ, hold on to your wife and fear Allah. وَتُخْفِي فِي نَفْسِكَ, and you hide in yourself. See this to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many of the scholars, this is itab from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his prophet. This is a critique, this is a blame from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his prophet. And this ayah in particular is one of the evidences that the scholars of Islam show to the world. They said this Quran cannot be from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and these are words of the Quran, words like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتُخْفِي فِي نَفْسِكَ مَا اللَّهُ مُبْدِي, and you hide what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to reveal. Saying to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَتَخْشَ النَّاسِ, and you are afraid of people. You are embarrassed of people to let Zayd divorce Zaynab, and you marry Zaynab, who is the daughter of in-law to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in adoption. وَاللَّهُ أَحَقُّ أَبْ تَخْشَى, that Allah is more worthy of the fear than the people. So don't get embarrassed of people, ya Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that is worthy of fear. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Al-Quran, فَلَمَّا قَضَى زَيْدٌ مِّنْهَا وَطَرًا زَوَّجْنَاكَهَا لِكَيْ لَا يَكُونَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ حَرَجٌ فِي أَزْوَاجِ أَدْعِيَائِهِمْ إِذَا قَضَوْا مِنْهُنَّ وَطَرًا وَكَانَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ مَفْعُولًا. Said when Zayd is finished with his marriage to Zaynab. This is when the name of Zayd was mentioned. فَلَمَّا قَضَى زَيْدٌ مِّنْهَا وَطَرًا. The only Sahabi that is mentioned by name, his first name, فَلَمَّا قَضَى زَيْدٌ مِّنْهَا وَطَرًا. When Zayd, and this is what Allah says in the Quran, this is Quran to be recited inshallah to the day of judgment. When Zayd is finished with his marriage with Zaynab, we married Zaynab to you. Allah, زَوَّجْنَاكَهَا, said Allah, I married Zaynab to you. Why? لِكَيْ لَا يَكُونَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ حَرَجٌ. So mu'min, the believers, the ummah of Islam, knows that there is no haram for those who claim adoption to marry the wives of their adopted people. So this adoption in Islam does not cross into the religion ahkam. So people who adopt a son, and the son, in a way, they raise some orphan in their house, then when that orphan, if he's a male, and he grows up, then the family should have hijab from that person. He's not the son in blood. It's not the same ahkam. He's still, you have to apply the hikam of that person in his own family. So this ayah basically arranges and reorganizes how Islam takes care of people of that are orphans. لِكَيْ لَا يَكُونَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ حَرَجٌ فِي أَزْوَاجِ أَدْعِيَائِهِمْ إِذَا قَضَوْا مِنْهُنَّ وَطَرًا وَكَانَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ مَفْعُولًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordains. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues, مَا كَانَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ مِنْ حَرَجٍ فِي مَا فَرَضَ اللَّهُ لَهُ سُنَّةَ اللَّهِ فِي الَّذِي خَلَوْ مِنْ قَبْلِ وَكَانَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ قَدَرًا مَقْدُورًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should not be embarrassed from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained for him. This is the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the people before you. And the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the affairs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is preordained. It's something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his own wisdom knows. Why is this ayah? What is the meaning of this ayah? That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the marriage to Zaynab was very complicated. That was not the only problem in that marriage. Not only Zaynab is the ex-wife of Zayd, but she also the fifth wife for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the halal in Islam is only to marry up to four. If needed. So how about the fifth one now? And he already had four in his household, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordains on the prophets. And the prophets have different ruling from the rest of the ummah. Because the marriages, and this is the perfect example why the prophets have different rulings. Why the prophets have different situation for the rest of the ummah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches the world the affair of the society through the marriages of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And four marriages are not enough to teach the people, to teach the world forever how people should do in different situations. There is not one woman or two women or three women or even four that encompasses all the attributes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to show the Muslim ummah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained for the prophets and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to marry more than four. And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confirms that in the Qur'an. الَّذِينَ يُبَلِّغُونَ رِسَالَاتِ اللَّهِ وَيَخْشَوْنَهُ وَلَا يَخْشَوْنَ أَحَدًا إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ حَسِيبًا ما كان محمد أبا أحد من رجالكم ولكن رسول الله وخاتم النبيين وكان الله بكل شيء عليما. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes up to the verses 39 and 40, those who deliver the messages of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fear Allah and fear no one but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this particular situation is a great test and great tribulation for the prophets. This is a social order that is being broken. This is a socially embarrassing situation. But yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling His Prophet, you should fear me and not fear the social embarrassment. Because the goal of the whole situation is not for that one society or for those few people that were around the Prophet. It's for the nations to come. It's for the generations to come. And that's the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cancels the adoption when you call people to somebody other than their real biological father or mother. مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِنْ رِجَالِكُمْ. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not a father to any of your men. And we know this is also a miracle of the Quran, because none of the children of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the male children, lived to get to adulthood. They all died before they became grown-ups or adults. So Muhammad, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, never seen any of his children reaching the adulthood stage. And he will not be a father to Zayd. This cancelled that adoption relationship. وَلَكِنْ خَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ. He is the seal of the Prophet. And that's the wisdom. Because the son of the Prophet, and like in the people of Israel, would become a prophet. They inherit prophethood. And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam genealogy ended with the male children. And so there would be no prophets to seal the lineage, to seal the line of the prophets after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows all. And you see how Zayd played a role in this divine plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change a very important social order. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Al-Ahzab 5, in the fifth verse of Ahzab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, اِدْعُوهُمْ لِآبَائِهِمْ هُوَ أَقْصَطُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. Call them for their fathers. It's no problem taking care of orphans. Islam encourages taking care of orphans. But you have to call their names for who they are. Don't take the right that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in their biological parents away from them. Without their choice. Or even with their choice. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordains something, and that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordains. So you have to keep the name of these children and not change it. And they should know who their fathers are or who their mothers are. And that is their right. And Abdullah ibn Umar said, في Zayd ibn Haritha, he said, with Zayd, we never called him except Zayd ibn Muhammad until that verse was revealed. And then he was called again Zayd ibn Haritha. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved Zayd ibn Haritha really like a son. And among the Sahaba, as we said, his title was Hibb Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the beloved of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whenever Zayd comes, the smile grows on the face of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They want the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be happy. Zayd has to be close to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had so much good relation with Zayd ibn Haritha, the one that he raised in his own household. And he used to tell him, أنت أخونا ومولانا. The freed slave, or the slave that is freed, is called Mawla. And it is in one of the Arabic language tricks, if you will, this Mawla is called for the slave and the master. It's the same word. Mawla, Mawlana, can be used for a slave, for somebody who's under you, but also is used for somebody who's above you. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would mask it, and he said, you are our brother and our Mawla. So you are like us, Zayd. So he always wants to wipe out the stigma that he came to Mecca as a slave. And he's showing the world that this is my brother. He is like me. And it doesn't matter how he got to the Islam. And he is one of the, many of the scholars count him as one of the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ahlul Bayt. The family of the Prophet, the household of the Prophet includes the white and the black. includes Bilal ibn Rabah and includes Usama ibn Zayd, who were both black, by the way. Usama ibn Zayd is black because Usama, as we see, he was married to a Habashi woman. And includes the Arab and the Ajam, includes the Arab and the non-Arab, because Salman al-Farisi is also counted as one of the people of the household of the Prophet ﷺ. So Rasulullah ﷺ is expanding this honor to not only be a blood situation, being from the house of the Prophet is an honor bestowed on these few people, and Zayd ibn Haritha was one of the people who was given this honor. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say to Zayd, Ya Zayd, anta mawlaya wa minni wa ilay wa ahabbu al-qawmi ilay. He would say, wa ahabbu al-qawmi alay. He would say, you are my mawla, and you are from me, and to me, and you are the most beloved among people to my heart. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave Zayd a wife, and that wife he chose the one that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had most respect to that wife. It's not Zaynab, it's the other wife. It is the mother of Usama ibn Zayd, and her name was Ummu Ayman, or Baraka. Baraka al-Habashiyya. She's from al-Habasha. She was a black woman, but she nursed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was his nanny, if you will, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his household. And her age was close to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But she was raised with him, and she would take care of the affairs of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he gave Ummu Ayman in marriage to Zayd ibn Haritha, and that marriage was very blessed and was very successful. And the result of that was Usama ibn Zayd, Usama the son of Zayd, the Hibb ibn al-Hibb, the beloved, the son of the beloved of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And even with that, the poisonous tongues of people didn't leave Zayd alone. Ummu Baraka is from Baraka Ummu Ayman is from Al-Habasha, and Zayd is an Arab, and Zayd was fair complexed and she was black, and then Usama came completely with black features. He's black, dark complexed, and he's got the classic nose for that comes from the African American race. I mean, not American, the African race was so stereotyped by that. The African race. And the Sahaba used to call Usama bin Zayd, they call him Al-Aswad Al-Aftas, the black with the wide nose, because that's how he looked. And they would not try to, it's not a derogatory, that's just how he looked. But the Munafiqeen and the one who tried to hurt Usama, they would say, well, how come a white man would have a black son? How come he looks so black? Maybe there is something wrong in the situation. And they try to put those issues in the heart of Zayd. Just heard Zayd. They are jealous of Zayd for this closeness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, envious of the station of Zayd ibn Haritha, and they're trying to hurt the heart of Zayd. And the thing that he loved the most in his family, in his wife and his son. So the tribulation didn't end for Zayd, even then. And then one time, and this is narrated from Aisha, the Arabs at that time, they didn't have DNA cloning. They didn't do what is this test called? Right. They didn't do the DNA typing, but they had people that had knowledge of something called al-farasa. They would take a look at two people, and they would, from their features, they'd recognize if they're blood relatives or not. And some of them were very known and very dependable, and what they say is really a sealed situation. It's a done deal for the Arabs. And one of the most famous ones was Mujazzaz al-Mudliji. And they would call them al-Qawwaf or al-Qaif. They would look at people and they would say, the reason the Arabs had that is in the time of al-Jahiliyyah, they had some type of marriage where 10 men can be married to one woman. In al-Jahiliyyah. And they would eventually need to know whose son is that or whose daughter is that. So they would bring these people, and they would look at the features of the offspring and the features of the father, and they would be able to tell with great accuracy who's the son of who. And that's what Mujazzaz used to do. And one time the Prophet came to his household with a big smile, and Aisha said, what is it? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَلَمْ تَرَى أَنَّ مُجَزَّزًا نَظَرَ إِلَى زَيْدٍ ابن حارثة وأسامة بن زيد فقال إن هذه الأقزام بعضها من بعض. He looked at them and he just looked at their feet. And he said, these feet are from each other. This is father and son, without even being asked. These two people were just sitting there, and he came and he said, I mean, one man is a black, and the other one is white. And he said, this is a father and a son. He knew immediately. And the prophet was very happy, because that basically was the DNA test that the Arab acknowledged. And there were no rumors after that in the household of Zayd. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very close to Zayd ibn Haritha. And we know that Zayd ibn Haritha went with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam everywhere. He was his adopted son. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have all the seerah, when we study the events of the seerah, you just have to imagine that Zayd ibn Haritha was there. And one of the situations that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would take only Zayd with him, only Zayd would go with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when it is a matter of great importance. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made this daring and important trip to At-Ta'if, when all the doors were closed in Mecca, and no more people were coming into Islam. In Aam al-Huzn, in the year of sorrow, he went to At-Ta'if. And the only man he took with him was Zayd ibn Harith. Zayd was with the Prophet in At-Ta'if. And they got to At-Ta'if, and in At-Ta'if we know what happened. The people of At-Ta'if would follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Zayd, and they would stone them. And Zayd would be around the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam receiving the stones, and Zayd was bleeding, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would bleed. And Zayd would shield the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his body. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went with Zayd, and this hadith is narrated on the authority of Zayd ibn Haritha, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with his bleeding face, bleeding body, and teary eyes, made this beautiful dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma ilayka ashku ba'fa quwwati. O Allah, to you I complain about the weakness of my strength. Wa qillata hilati, the limitations of the options that I have. Wa hawani ala nas, and the humiliation that I'm facing among people. Ya arhamar rahimin, O most merciful. Anta rabbul mustad'afina wa anta rabbi. You are the Lord of the weak and you are my Lord. Ila man takuluni, who do you turn over my affairs to? إِلَى بَعِيدٍ يَتَهَجَّمُنِي أَمْ إِلَى عَدُوٍ مَلَّكْتَهُ أَمْرِي, to a distant person that faced me with enmity, with aggressiveness, or to an enemy of mine that has custody over my affairs. إِلَّمْ يَكُنْ بِكَ غَضَبٌ عَلَيَّ فَلَا أُبَالِي, but if you're not angry with me, then I could care less. Because the Prophet ﷺ, pain was not because he was getting beaten, not because he was getting stoned, because he felt that he is not delivering the message. People are not coming to Islam. And he felt that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may be angry with him because of that. And he's doing everything he can, but nothing is happening. This was the hardest year of a da'wah. The very few Muslims that came in early, and then nothing happened for years. Very few. Very slow growth. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would feel distress. And he said, if you are not angry with me, then I could not care. I don't care about all this pain. I don't care about the humiliation. I don't care about the tears. I don't care about the blood. وَلَكِنَّ عَافِيَتَكَ أَوْسَعُ لِي, but your mercy, your forgiveness is vast for me. أَعُوذُ بِنُورِ وَجْهِكَ الَّذِي أَشْرَقَتْ بِهِ الظُّلُمَاتِ وَصَلُحَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ مِنْ أَنْ تُنَزِّلَ بِيَ غَضَبُكْ أَوْ يَحِلَّ عَلَيَّ سَخَطُكْ. I take refuge in your face, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's face, that brightened the darkness of heavens and earth, and rectified the wrongs of the dunya, of the life, and the hereafter, that you would have wrath upon me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَكَ الْعُتْبَى حَتَّى تَرْضَى, to you my apologies go. To you I seek your forgiveness until you are satisfied with me. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيِّ الْعَظِيمِ. And that's what Zayd ibn Haritha, this is how close he was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in these dark moments. And then Zayd made the hijrah to Al-Madinah before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and waited for his beloved Prophet in Al-Madinah. And then when the Prophet made the hijrah with Abu Bakr, he received to Medina, he wanted to get his family back. We know the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got out of his house under the cover of the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with Abu Bakr, and he was protected. But his family stayed in Mecca. And who does he trust to go get his family for him? Zayd ibn Haritha. Of all the Sahaba, he chooses Zayd for this mission, one of his household, to go bring his family. And he went and brought Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu anha, Umm Kulthum and Sauda, which was the prophet of the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at that time, and then later on added Aisha in al-Madinah. But the only wife at that time was Sauda bint Zam'a. And then another trip, he sent them to bring Zainab. So he was the trusted one with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he would trust with the affairs of his household. And in al-Jihad, in the battlefields, Zayd was a very famous and a very brilliant fighter. He was one of the few marksmen that is recorded in history among the Muslims, wasn't the archers, like Sa'd ibn Waqqas. He was from the same class of archers. And Zayd ibn Haritha was known for his accuracy in throwing the arrows. He was in Badr. He was in Uhud. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he went out to the battle of Al-Muraysi', he left him as a governor, as the emir over Al-Madinah. He was in Al-Khandaq, and he was in Al-Hudaybiyah, in the Treaty of Al-Hudaybiyah, and he witnessed the Bay'at al-Ridwan, the Pledge of the Pleasure, the Pledge of Al-Shajarah. And he also was in Khaybar. So all the battles of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Zayd was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with him. In Badr, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had Zayd so close to him, and when he wanted to give the news of the victory in that very important day of Badr, where there was a differentiation between al-Haq and al-Batil, the battle of Badr, there is no important day in the history of Islam than that day of Badr, and he sent Zayd ibn Haritha to give the news to al-Madina. His messenger to Al-Madinah were two of them. One was Abdullah ibn Rawaha to go to the suburbs of Al-Madinah, and he sent Zayd ibn Haritha to Al-Madinah. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam goes out to battle, he would trust his weapon, his sword and his armor only with Zayd ibn Haritha. He was like master of the arms for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Zayd Jabal ibn Haritha narrated, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا لم يغزو لم يعطي سلاحه إلا عليا أو زيدا. He would give his weapons only to Ali or Zayd. These are the two that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم would trust with his weapons. And Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم would put this man who came to his house as a slave, he always would put him in a position of a commander. And on the Imam Shabi said this narration, he said, مَا بَعَثَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مِنْ سَرِيَّةٍ قَطْ وَفِيهِمْ زَيْدٍ إِلَّا أَمَّرَهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Whenever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would send an expedition that needs a commander and Zayd is among them, then Zayd would be the commander. Zayd would be the man to lead because he was worthy. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on his deathbed, in the final hour, we know one of the very important subjects at that time in Al-Ummah was the expedition of Usama bin Zayd. And people would say Usama is only 17 or 18 and he's not really worthy of leading this army way into the Byzantine Empire. With the great Sahaba there, Abu Bakr was in the army, Umar was in the army, Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah was in the army. And people started talking about that. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on his bed said, إِنَّ بَعْضَ النَّاسِ and he came up actually to the minbar in the khutbat al-maut or khutbat, the final khutbah. He said, إِنَّ بَعْضَ النَّاسِ يَطْعَنُونَ فِي إِمَارَةِ أُسَامَ بِنْ زَيْدٍ. Some people are criticizing the commandership of Usama ibn Zayd. وَلَقَدْ طَعَنُوا فِي إِمَارَةِ أَبِيهِ مِنْ قَبْلٍ. And they said the same thing about his father before, that his father is not worthy of being a commander. وَإِنْ كَانَ أَبُوهُ لَخَلِيقًا لِلْإِمَارَةِ. His father is very worthy for this commandership. وَإِنَّ أُسَامَةَ لَخَلِيقٌ لَهَا. And Usama is also worthy of this commandership. وَإِنَّهُ لَمِنْ أَحَبِّ النَّاسِ إِلَيْهِ بَعْدَ أَبِيهِ. Usama is one of the most beloved after his father. His father Zayd is still one, after his death, Zayd ibn Haritha was still most beloved to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He led expeditions for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 7 times when the Prophet wasn't there. But every time the Prophet was there, Zayd would be with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fighting. Al-Waqidi radiallahu named the 7 expeditions: Al-Qirda, Al-Jamum, Al-Is, Al-Tarf, Hisma, Qirfa, and Mu'za. And let's stop here at Mu'ta. The stop where Zayd ibn Haritha led this major expedition. Mu'ta was a defensive expedition, was a sariya that the Prophet ﷺ put an army of 3,000 men to go explore the tribes in the northern area of the peninsula of Arabia, right at the Byzantine borders. The very first time that the Muslim Arabs, were feeling the threat of the Byzantine and the tribes that are allied with the Byzantine in northern Arabia. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam puts an army together of 3,000 people of al-Muhajireen and al-Ansar and wanted them to go and explore and to make sure that the Arab tribes that have treaties with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are still holding on to their treaties. And then he gave the banner to Zayd ibn Haritha. And he made Zayd ibn Haritha the leader on this very important expedition. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِن قُتِلَ زَيْد فَجَعْفَر. If Zayd is killed, then Ja'far becomes the commander. وَإِن قُتِلَ جَعْفَر فَعَبْدُ اللَّهِ بْنُ رَوَاحَ. And if Ja'far was killed, then Abdullah ibn Rawaha takes the commandership. And in that army, he sent a new Muslim with them, Khalid ibn al-Walid. And that army of 3,000 men went out to northern Arabia. And what happened in Ma'an, and Ma'an is still a city in Jordan today, so they went outside the peninsula into the Byzantine territory to explore. And they got into a place in Ma'an, and close to that there's a village called Mu'ta. And in Ma'an, Heraclius has prepared an army of 100,000 professional Byzantine fighters. And got the help of the Arab clans that were Christians and or allies with the Byzantine, and they also gathered 100,000 fighters of their own. And in that expedition, they were faced in Mu'ta with 200,000 fighters. 3,000 to 200,000. No brain, right? Total withdrawal immediately. Not so. The commander of the army, Zayd ibn Haritha, our Sahabi that we're studying today, he put the army together and he put the commanders of the army and he had the shura, had the discussion with them, what do we do? And the shura said, we came here for two reasons. We came, imma lil-nasr wa imma lil-shahada. We came either to have victory and to give the order, to apply the orders of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or to have martyrdom. So what are we afraid of? 300, 400,000, makes no difference. There are only 3,000 of them. And they chose to fight. And they chose to face off with an army of 3,000, this humongous army of 200,000 fighters. And Zayd took the banner. And he was holding the banner in one hand, and he was fighting with the other. And wherever the banner is, that's what the other army attacks. The banner is what it's a magnet for the arrows, it's a magnet for the spears, it's a magnet for the swords. Because if the banner falls, that means the army is defeated. And Zayd took the banner himself, and he was fighting with the banner. And no one could get close to him with his fighting, radiallahu anhu. And then finally, some of the people got to him and they started throwing the spears from afar to the target that was just sitting there with the banner. And they hit Zayd. And Zayd fell in the battle, and he had the martyrdom with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prediction. Whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, if somebody is dead, then give this to that, the Sahaba knew that it was going to happen. That whenever the sallallahu alaihi wasallam has a lineage about who's going to get what, they know that that's a given. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after that, according to his orders, Ja'far ibn Abi Talib took the banner and he was killed. And then Abdullah ibn Rawaha took the banner and he was killed. And then finally Khalid ibn al-Walid took the banner and he saved the situation and he was able to withdraw with the Muslim army without any losses from that battle. From that great battle, Muslims had less than 50 casualties in the entire battle of Mu'ta, facing 200,000 Byzantine fighters. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was telling people in Medina what is going on in Mu'ta. and he would say, Zayd is with the banner. وَقُتِلَ زَيْد. And Zayd was killed. And then he said, استغفروا لأخيكم قد دخل الجنة. Have forgiveness for your brother, he's already in paradise. دخل الجنة وهو يسعى. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اللَّهُمَّ اغْفِرْ لِزَيْد. اللَّهُمَّ اغْفِرْ لِزَيْد. اللَّهُمَّ اغْفِرْ لِزَيْد. اللَّهُمَّ اغْفِرْ لِجَعْفَرْ وَلِعَبْدِ اللَّهِ بْنِ رَوَاحَ. So he made istighfar for Zayd 3 times. And then he made istighfar for Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, his cousin, and Abdullah ibn Rawaha, his poet and his knight. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the house of Zayd ibn Haritha, the household that he knows very well. And he told them the news that they just lost Zayd. And the daughter of Zayd ran and cried in the hands of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started weeping in the house of Zayd. And people don't weep usually on martyrs. People who are given the Jannah, it's the ultimate goal. I mean, these Muslims had a different feel for what is to die in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We remember the mother of one of the people that are killed in Badr. She came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Where is my son? Is he in Jannah or is he in not there? If he's in Jannah, so I wouldn't have any problems with it. But if he's not there, then let me cry. So this is how they felt. But then the Sahaba saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam weeping, and that child, that daughter is weeping in his hand. And Sa'd ibn Ubadah was with the Prophet, and he said, مَا هَذَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. What is this, Ya Rasulullah? Why do I see the weeping? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, هَذَا شَوْقُ الْحَبِيبِ إِلَى الْحَبِيبِ. It's only the beloved missing the one he loves. This is just missing Zayd ibn Haritha. And that's how Zayd ibn Haritha got al-Jannah more than once. He got al-Jannah with martyrdom, he got al-Jannah in Bayat al-Ridwan, and he got al-Jannah by giving the glad tidings of Jannah by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aisha said, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died, and there was a discussion about who is to be a Khalifa, who is to take the affairs of, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not define. And Aisha said, لو أن زيدا كان حيا لاستخلفه رسول الله. If Zayd was alive, then it would not be a problem. Zayd would be the Khalifa. Zayd would be the one that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would give. When Zayd was martyred, he was 55 years old. And he was martyred in Mu'tah, rahimahullah, and that was on the 8th year of Hijrah, radiyallahu anhu wa abdah, and inshaAllah we continue next time with the other Sahabi that killed his father. So we have some kind of a quiz here till next week, jazakumullah khair. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gather us with Zayd ibn Haritha and the rest of the Sahaba in the paradise, fi jannat al-firdaus, with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, under the throne of Ar-Rahman. Jajma'in ya Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Actually, Zayd ibn Haritha was not one of the 10 that are mentioned in that one hadith. The 10 that are mentioned are, as you know, and thank you for this correction, because we were counting him with them, but the 10 that are mentioned are, but he's Mubashar from more than one occasion, but the 10 that are mentioned are Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, Sa'id ibn Zayd, Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, Abdurrahman ibn Awf, Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, and Talha ibn Ubaidillah. So I probably mentioned that he's one of the 10, but he is given the glad tidings of paradise on a different occasion. Allahu A'lam probably was, because if you look at the age of Usama ibn Zayd, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, Usama was at least 17 years old, according to more scholars. So Usama ibn Zayd is son, obviously, of Zayd ibn Haritha. So Zayd had to be married for at least 17 years. And the Prophet passed on the 23rd year of Hijrah, and he went to apply for the 10th year of Hijrah. So he had according to that type of calculation, he was married to Umm Ayman. And actually, with that, a scholar says that when he was married to Umm Ayman, and then he married Zainab, and he divorced Zainab while he was married to Umm Ayman. So he had both of them at the same time.
And was he How long was he adopted?
Since he was 8, and he was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for most of his life until he was 55. So it had to, and he died on the 8th year of Hijrah. So at the time of da'wah, he had to be, according to that calculation, there's a lot of conflicts about that, especially when it comes to the age. So he had to be in his 20s at that time. So he was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for at least 12, 14 years. Allah knows best. Yes. Correct. And I mean, it also tells you about the sacrifice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he was sending Zayd, he knows, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew that he was sending Zayd to a certain death, and he loved Zayd more than anybody else. Yet he had no hesitation in sending Zayd for martyrdom. I mean, this is also the sacrifice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right. And he wept and he was very saddened for departing from Zayd. Yet still, from the sacrifice that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make is to sacrifice the people he loved the most, and including his cousin and including Zayd ibn Haritha. Jazakumullah khair. Any comments? Jazakumullah. So just to have a correction, and even if we're taping this, I don't know if I mentioned that Zayd was one of the 10 that are given in that one hadith. And the hadith is narrated on 2. The hadith that counts the 10 that are given the glad tidings of paradise is narrated on 2 sahaba in 2 different narrations. One of them is Abdurrahman ibn Auf, and the other one is Sa'id ibn Zayd. And they both count the same sahaba, and they are Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, Sa'id ibn Zayd, Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, Abdurrahman ibn Auf, Zubayr ibn Awam, and Talhat ibn Ubaidillah. Zayd ibn Haritha, I included him with the 10, with the Mubashareen, because if you actually go to the website, I included him because he's from the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to tie up the whole situation together. Jazakumullah khair.